from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Was it good to hear Justin Steele say his MRI results were positive, revealing anticipated inflammation, but he expects to pitch again this season? Did last night's result mean that they need him back, or are they going to be okay?
Well, they need him back because it's not over, even though it feels kind of over, frankly. It was really good. The news of the thing, what he had to say was good. But he didn't, it wasn't, I'm searching for the words that I want to use here. I think he was relatively positive. But when you really watch it a couple of times, you just got the sense that it was a relative positivity. That I don't think we have a complete resolution on this. And I don't know that the injured list is completely off the table. At one point he said that it felt very much like how things were when he did have to go on the injury list. So I'm not sure that they're completely out of the woods in terms of him back in the rotation and up and running and ready to go. I know he's going to do some long toss today, and you hope he feels better, but I think he really wants to be a part of a playoff push. I'm not sure that that's going to be what ends up happening here. So, yes, the words were positive. The demeanor of the player, I'm not saying he was in any way negative. I just think he had his eyes open and he was sort of understanding it. And I think the message may have been more positive than the feeling you got watching it.
Well, here's the good news. There's no structural damage at the moment. So, at the moment, Tommy John is off the table, as some were trying to speculate and encourage that that's what was going to happen, you know, to people that like to throw wet blankets on top of things. Anyway, by the time they get to LA, you're going to know whether or not you should throw him again. You could end up getting swept. The Cubs could end up getting swept by the Pirates. They could end up losing 2 of 3 or getting swept by the Yankees. And at that point, it will be over. You know, as David said in the first set, you know, time is not on the Cubs' side. Their schedule's not on their side. Their record's not on their side. So at that point, it would be smart for everybody, including Justin Steele, not to push to get back out there and just focus on 2025 Cubs season at that point.
Can't argue with that logic. I have to believe that they are thinking that way as well. You've got to take the long view here. As much as, again, coming back from the road trip, before they lost that game on Monday night, the thought was Justin Steele, Paul Skenes, that was going to be the matchup that gave you a chance to win this series and maybe keep a winning streak alive. But now that they have lost 2 in a row to the Pirates, the calendar is, and the games and the schedule dwindling, you might be in a position where it's not worth bringing him back. Yesterday was the beginning of the information gathering process, but they're in the middle of that process. They're not at the end. So I think when Justin Steele is speaking, it's like trying to review a movie halfway through it. You don't know. You don't have all the information. You don't have all the things in front of you. You can't really say how you feel because you just still are seeking another opinion. Maybe that other opinion will be, well, maybe you should shut it down. If they did shut it down, you'd understand. Because he means too much to this team's future. And if you are making decisions about 2025, which Jed Hoyer has done, throughout the course of this season,
yep,
then the best interest of 2025, put yourself in a best position to contend next year, might be to put Justin Steele on the shelf now.
Two great questions.
All right, two great questions. So is that it for the Cubs after losing another game to the Pirates last night and Justin Steele's status being so uncertain as we just talked about? Can you envision them recovering from this latest setback?
It's very difficult. As much as you respect where Craig Counsell is coming from, and his interview yesterday afternoon on the afternoon show was another reminder just how he takes every day and every game as it comes, and he's able to process things and keep an even keel, and that's a great approach. But last night, this series feels like the beginning of the end, and they had an opportunity with a 3-0 lead in the eighth inning Monday night to build on that momentum and look at last night a little differently. But now two straight to a Pirates team that should has no business beating you two in a row at home in September. I don't think Craig Timber happens this year. I think football season started last night in Chicago. I don't like to acknowledge that, but seeing Paul Skeens in person with his machine-like precision wasn't just that. It was the fact that Cubs were 0-for-5 with runners in scoring position. Looks like their bats, which were so hot and had all those runs on that road trip, they came home and they remembered they can't hit. And this has been a team offensively challenged all year. I want to be wrong. But with the Yankees and the Dodgers next on the schedule back-to-back, not sure I'm going to be.
All right. Well, if there was ever in the history of the Cubs in 2024 a must-win statement game, that is tonight. You have your ace. You are at home. You are not supposed to get swept by the Pirates. You're not supposed to lose 3 in a row. And Craig Timber, because he's got them all in position. Here's the thing about that interview yesterday. And I thought that was about as human as Craig Counsell has sounded, as personal as Craig Counsell has sounded all year. I'm thrilled he's part of the team. I'm thrilled that he talks to the station once a week or every other week, depending. But the idea is he wants to keep guys fresh and not push it and have everybody ready till Craig Timber arrives. Well, okay, Craig Timber is here, and so far, not so good. But I also wonder, going back to the Justin Steele thing, do you think, because Jed Hoyer told us this yesterday, do you think the mindset in the clubhouse changed because Hoyer told us they knew before game one of the series that Steele was going to miss? Do you think that had any effect on the team? Did that bring, it shouldn't, but do you think that potentially that brings the team down?
No.
That the mindset, you don't think that can affect you?
I don't, because they led 3-0 in the eighth inning. That was a bullpen collapse. One guy.
And now we've had two bullpen collapses. So we've had two guys right, giving up home runs that you can't have back-to-back nights. Hey, listen, if they lose tonight, we could have the official start of the NFL season and the end of the Cubs season all in one. Because tomorrow night here on The Score, we've got game one of the NFL season, Ravens-Chiefs.
Yeah, I don't feel like all is lost. I think it was always a long shot. And I think the long shot is still live. I think that the two series back to back against New York and Los Angeles, that could be where it does die. I mean, I understand what the numbers will tell you and how the math works, but I don't feel this morning, you know, honestly, I thought they were going to lose the Skeens game. I didn't think they were going to lose yesterday. So it's hard for me. Because they lost yesterday, though, well, then they better win today. You can't lose a series at this point in the season. But they've been winning series, right? How many series in a row have they won? So this is a misstep without a doubt, and the sort of thing where you go on the road, you know you got to win, and, you know, they breathed. They came home and they went, oh. And unfortunately, it has bitten them with two losses. They can't lose tonight. And they're going to have to somehow do something unexpected. Just because a team has a winning record doesn't mean that they're definitely going to be able to beat the Cubs. I don't think we get ahead of ourselves. I think it's the season. I felt for a while that they were going to come up short, just as they did last year. But this Craig Timber thing is interesting to me. And you're right, Dustin. You know, you wish that the bullpen didn't have two meltdowns back to back like that, because Who you trusting now?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
That's one of those questions. You know how hard that is to answer.
That's the voice of Dan Weeder. He'll be answering Bears questions at 7:25. Are you at all intimidated by the fact that quarterbacks drafted number one are 0-14-1 in their first start since 2002? Is Caleb Williams different, or is it the Bears' talent level that's different? Their own pick was 9th overall, and that's before they even managed to upgrade the roster, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big deal. You know, this guy was a number one overall pick because they made a great trade, not because the Bears didn't improve last year. And by the way, they're significantly better than they were. I find this statistic to be meaningless in terms of this year's Bears team. I get it. You know, you're taking number one overall, and usually you're going to the worst team in the league. And usually one player is not able to turn around the fortunes of a team. But I think that this is an exception to that rule just because the number one overall pick belonged to Carolina. And it didn't belong to the Bears until they made that deal. And they managed to get that pick for themselves. And as the question implies, they're picking 9th. So there are 8 teams that were worse than them a year ago. And they've gotten significantly better since then. And by the way, that 9th pick in the draft looks awful good from the little bits we've seen of it. So, you know, they've upgraded a lot of their weaponry. I mean, are they perfect? No. But I don't think other number one overall picks has any bearing as to whether or not Caleb Williams is going to win his debut against Tennessee.
Well, numbers don't lie. The trend sometimes is your friend, and sometimes it's not. And if you're a guy that's got the Bears winning double digits, this game on Sunday is a must win. That's one of your double digit wins. It's against a Titans team that's kind of rebuilding. They're in the process of doing that. So you cannot be part of this statistic and be 0-15-1 if you hope to have a successful season.
You can say the trend is your friend and you can look at the numbers and statistics, but I think that if you're being consistent, everything that we've said about Caleb Williams and the Bears all offseason long is that never has there been a rookie quarterback entered a situation more conducive to winning than him. So if that's the case, none of these numbers matter. This has nothing to do with what happened in 2013 or 2012 with Andrew Luck and whoever. The Bears have a team that you add the quarterback, and they're certainly good enough to talk about a playoff possibility, a playoff contender status. But even without, so you plug the quarterback in, their defense is ready to go. Their weapons are proven for the most part. They've got an offensive line that's a little iffy, but they have all the things that you need. And then you plug in a quarterback, just don't get you beat. the minimum for Caleb Williams on Sunday is don't make mistakes to get the Bears beat. But I even think that's setting the expectations of the bar way too low. I don't buy into how history affects the present necessarily, because I don't think any of those 15 games have anything to do with how the Bears match up against the Titans team coached by Brian Callahan, who's making his NFL head coaching debut.
That's a pick six.
What do you make of wide receiver Rome Odunze working with Jalen Johnson last night on Hard Knocks? How good will Odunze be this season, and how good did he look in that sequence?
He looks good. He looks good in every sequence. I think that you remember that he's the number 9 overall pick, and in any other circumstance, in any other offseason, be like, wow, the Bears' number 9 overall pick is ready to contribute in a big way immediately. Jalen Johnson also showed some leadership. It was one of the cool moments on the final episode of Hard Knocks. There were others. I thought Ryan Poles cutting Adrian Colbert was something that exposed his humanity. It really was emotional for him. The Velus Jones trade offer, we didn't know about, which was good information.
Should have traded him.
They weren't going to take anything lower than a fourth rounder. That's interesting that they valued him to that degree. Brett Rypien and his thought process going from discarded quarterback to Minnesota Viking. All these things are behind the curtain peaks that I think that made that very watchable. But yeah, Rome Odunze going against Jalen Johnson, I think underscored the leadership qualities that we talked about. Jalen Johnson were evident to teammates when they elected him a captain. That was a good follow-up to the story of the weekend. The Bears named 8 captains, Jalen Johnson one of them, and you saw his leadership coming into play by doing a little extra work with Rome Odunze, who looks like he's ready to go.
Well, you're only going to get better going up against Jalen Johnson. That's for sure. And I think it's always good for a rookie who wants to be out there and wants to push. I think it's a good matchup for Jalen on the opposite side, going against Caleb Williams and going up against Rome Odunze. I think it helps everybody. It helps both sides of the ball, that matchup. But if we're going back to some stuff from Hard Knocks last night, I mean, if as good as Ryan Poles ends up looking after this thing, you almost think that he might have been editing the tape himself, right? I mean, that's how good he looks. I mean, it was like a victory lap for him. But the giddiness when basically Velus Jones made the team.
Yeah.
Okay, when he could be on three of the phases of special teams.
Right.
Okay, and switch positions and we have to go back to it, but I think he's like, he made it, like, and threw his fist in the air. Like, he was thrilled. Like I was right.
Yeah, he has an investment in the guy.
Right, and I found that interesting.
Which is why the guy made the team.
Mm-hmm. And he was giddy that all his coaches and all the position coaches and the coordinators all wanted him part of their game plans.
And when the general manager is pushing a guy, whether he realizes or not, everybody gets on board with him. So I agree with that, Dustin. I thought that was a very interesting moment within the thing. What I liked about the Rome Odunze thing is that Jalen Johnson goes to him. He wants to work on something. Hey, I want to get 5 more inside, outside. Can you run these routes with me? And Rome Odunze is happy to do it. He's 22. He's got his legs. And then Jalen is struggling with it. It's Odunze looks like the guy that's in charge of that, and they're having an exchange, and it's great to see a Pro Bowl level player working on his game, and it's great to see the young guy happy to go along with it, but also being powerful enough that he's actually winning that battle. So I thought it was a wonderful exchange, and I think things like that are really cool. And that's the kind of inside football that makes teams better. But you're right about Velus Jones. I mean, the general manager drafted that kid, wants him to be the guy. You know, hey, when you draft a guy that high, usually you give him 3 years. So it was no surprise that he made the team. And he does. There's a reason that you drafted him that high, and he has a special ability with that speed. So nothing thus far with that. Now, if they were to pick him up yet, if he doesn't pop and they stay with him again, now you got a problem.
Yeah, I think that could be a problem. I want to ask before we get to the next question, though. Was anything that any of the coaches said about Velus Jones in your mind invalid? Because I don't think that it was. All they did was underscore what we have talked about, or at least tried to be objective about. What he offers is something they value.
Yeah, but no one mentioned he can't catch the damn ball. No one mentioned that he's got bad hands.
They weren't talking about it. They were talking about him being part of those teams, but not being the guy catching the ball on those teams.
Right. That's the way coaches look at that.
I get it.
They try to accentuate the positive.
It's speed and height. Okay, two things that you can't coach up, speed and height. Speed and height. That gets you half the way up the coach's liking. Speed and height, size, whichever way you want to go.
And I know they included this intentionally, but it also shows you what the league thinks of him if there was a team willing to trade for him.
I wanted more on that, though. Okay. I wanted more. I wanted to know the team, but I need to know what the pick was.
Okay. They could have gotten a pick, a fourth round pick for that. If they get a fifth for him.
Well, it sounded like he would have went for a fourth.
Trade
him. Right?
Next question.
It's a good question.
All right, that's Chelly. He'll be here at 8:44. What's the biggest piece of info you're looking to learn when that injury report hits later today? Is there anything that you think could affect your prediction for Sunday's game?
No, I don't think anything is going to affect the fact that I think they're going to win the game. But, I mean, I want Montez Sweat to be maybe not even listed about that or questionable with something. That's the guy that I'm most looking for. And I hope Tevin Jenkins is okay too. Don't get me wrong. I hope the essential players are all ready to go. But if Montez Sweat has a real injury and not just something that's slowing him down a little bit, then you got a major problem.
Well, there's a reason Montez Sweat is not a captain, and we kind of touched on that yesterday, or at least I did, and he needs to be out there today, okay? And I'm sure it's not going to be a big padded hitting practice. He needs to be not riding a bike and not stretching. But the one that is most concerning.
I want to stop you because I need you to clarify that sentence. What is the reason he's not a captain?
Because he doesn't practice. He doesn't. The Bears say how you perform, how you lead by example. That's not leading by example. They barely. You guys know it better than I do. They barely hit each other in these two-a-days. They're not two-a-days. They're one-a-days. There's like five thudded practices. He. How many snaps? We go back. He took about 12 snaps in the preseason. Maybe that might be. I put the over under at 15. Preseason snaps. He does not lead by example in practice. That's why he's not a captain.
I think that's grossly unfair.
I think it's crazy.
But I understand where
then
you're coming from.
Then why is he not
from.
A captain? Why do you think he's not a captain?
They had to take him out of practice because he was hitting the quarterback.
Maybe. Well, okay, again, lead by example. What's the
Did you not see Hard Knocks?
What's the number one rule in
he's
football?
Telling Austin
Don't
Booker
touch the quarterback.
How to swim move.
Don't touch your
things.
Quarterback. They've got defensive line coaches, David.
Oh boy!
Well, tell me why he's not the captain. Then
I don't know why.
Well, it's
he's
unfair
not the
for me to speculate. You speculate.
My speculation is that there's
why
more,
do they have a guy who's brand new who's never taken a Bears snap?
Than there are defensive linemen, and they like Kevin Byard more than they like Montez Sweat, and maybe he split the vote with somebody. I don't know, but I don't want to disparage somebody's leadership qualities because he wasn't voted captain. I think Montez Sweat
there's eight of them, and he couldn't make the top eight.
He's one of those guys that you need on the field, and he speaks loudest with his play. To me, he reminds me, as I said yesterday, more of Julius Peppers than he does of any guy who we could reference that wasn't a great leader and had bad practice habits. I don't know that he has bad practice habits at all. I like what I saw in Hard Knocks, him telling Austin Booker.
You didn't
Booker,
see him in
yes,
practice.
How
did That's not practice,
did you
David.
Not watch?
That's not practice.
Okay.
That's side stuff. There's a difference.
I think that you're
casting aspersions. You,
I think that you're seeing things to form your argument. We're getting off far afield. If Montez Sweat is on the injury report today, it will be a concern. I don't think anything is going to change my prediction for the Bears winning this game, but I also am curious about the offensive line.
Right. If Tevin Jenkins and Ryan Bates, your first and second left guard,
yes,
are both on that list today and both are like walking around and all of a sudden Bill Murray, okay, not that Bill Murray, but the Bill Murray that's on the Bears is lined up at left guard.
If Bill Murray's stumbling around Bears practice,
you got a problem on Sunday.
Yes.
Well, okay, next question.
Sorry, I stole that question, but Molly
yes,
made
did.
Molly
you
made
just,
no Molly made
you
me do it. Molly
hijacked
made me
my
do
answer.
It. I hijacked it. I did.
You did.
Wow.
First time I'll admit that I hijacked
you just,
a question.
You did what Travis Bajant couldn't do.
In 10
you
years
strong-armed
of pick
me.
Six. 10 years of pick six.
First time he'll admit it.
That's what I said. Thank you for listening.
I'm saying admit it.
Okay. That was Ozzy.
First time it's happened.
That was Ozzy. Was there a play more indicative of this White Sox season than Aloy Jimenez, now an Oriole, lifting a fly ball to left field.
Yeah, and the truth is, if you have great stuff, you can challenge over the white part of the plate a little bit more, let your stuff just play. If you don't, you better figure out.
Oh, no! Oh, my goodness. The White Sox have just gone full White Sox. And Eloy Jimenez pop-up ends in a collision. Miguel Vargas is down with his face in his glove. Three runs have scored.
That from MASN, two White Sox players colliding. How apropos was this?
I would say that as a microcosm of the year, if there weren't seven or eight other examples that fit the category. Do yourself a favor. Go back over the weekend. Find ChicagoTribune.com and read Paul Sullivan's column about all of the foibles the White Sox have experienced and how they are indicative of this historically bad season. I was sitting next to Sully last night in the press box at Wrigley trying to talk him into writing a book about this disastrous season, because it would be readable if people would talk about how embarrassing this has been and all the things they went through to get to this point. Last night, just the latest example. The fact that Eloy Jimenez was the guy that hit the pop-up was just cruel, cruel irony. Not rich irony. I sat next to Rich Irony in geography class. This is cruel irony. And so, more laughable, embarrassing incidents. I'm glad Vargas is okay, but that was hard to watch.
We used to play the Benny Hill music for me when I'd go on one of those pirating or stealing of the segments. But the Benny Hill music with that highlight sums up the 2024 White Sox.
Yeah, the White Sox went full Reinsdorf there.
Hmm.
No, it's not working. I'm trying to.
Well, is that noun, adjective?
Well, they cherried that up so bad they went full Reinsdorf.
Verb. Okay, so Jerry as a verb.
They jerried it up. I want an unintentional horror to be known as a Reinsdorf in baseball, just as a tribute to what he's done this year.
That's a good quest. From a vocabulary standpoint, you might be better off using it as an adjective. Okay. Reinsdorfian.
They Reinsdorfed up that play.
That's a verb.
Okay, they Rein. Yeah.
Let's have Dustin diagram that sentence. I think if it was Reinsdorfian, it might be more what you're looking for.
Apropos of nothing.
Spell it.
Okay.
Did it get spelled right on the pick six? Yeah. A-P-R-O-P-O-S.
Yes. P-O-S.
S is silent? Like in Des Moines?
Yes.
Like in Des Moines if I'm listening to Cubs radio?
Yes, but the city is buzzing.
We've got the extra point next. What can you say about the White Sox? It's been the most Reinsdorfian season ever.
Bingo!
Here we go. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.